You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross, joined in the studios now by Kate Lochte and Murray artist Joy Thomas. Joy, thanks for taking time to be on Sounds Good.
It's almost a misnomer to say Murray artist when Joy Thomas's reputation is now international. And
Yay. It
hasn't been by accident that it's international. You have worked a lot over the last 20 years to establish your reputation where it is now. And I'd like to know what you consider your most important decisions along the road to reach this point of your career.
Probably the most important decision was to go study with people that I really admired, that I looked to when I was young and hoped that I could do that. So that would be the most important thing. I took the foot on the book method. I would buy how-to books, very similar to the one I've written now, and I would work my way through them. Literally, as the projects unfolded in front of me, I would get that paper, that canvas, those brushes, and I would work my way through as that artist had done. And then at the end, I would contact that artist, find them somewhere in New York or Arizona or Colorado, and I would go study with them. So that was life-changing.
Well, you would probably describe yourself as quite self-motivated. I mean, I would describe you as the little engine who drives wherever she needs to go.
Most days. I think earlier I would say it might have been compulsive a bit, but you'd have to talk to my family about that, see what they have to say.
Well, I'm looking at a color photo in the Murray Ledger and Times from last summer with you and your husband Fred and the governor and the first lady surrounding the portrait of Governor Steve Beshear that's now in the Kentucky History Center in Frankfort. And it's certainly not the only distinguished commission you've scored in the last few years. How do you do that?
In that case, it's been a long time coming. I was considered for every portrait of every governor for the last 21 years. And, you know, that came and went. And this time there was a bigger vetting process that involved Kentucky Historical Society, it involved the Kentucky Arts Council. I mean, there was a bigger community. And I think because I had painted also Senator Wendell Ford years ago when he was Senate Majority Whip, they went through the process. We had to do a head study. We had to kind of work our way up to a position where there were three left, I think. And then I was selected from that. So they come to me typically. I put my name out there. I try to make contacts if I know anyone, if I can make phone calls, you know, if I can catch someone at another opening or any kind, you know, I'll kind of look over and go, hey, that person may know someone who, you know, and in Kentucky especially, it kind of works that way now. On a federal, actually, it's been easier to get the federal jobs. I know, I was so happy. I had this whole thing, like, I cannot get too old or die before I've painted a Kentucky governor. So I'm, whew, you know, thank goodness.
Bucket list check.
Bucket list, that one's on.
And I assume that you had been in the Hall of Governors at the Kentucky History Museum before, because it's really quite a spooky place overall.
Have you seen the new one, though, with the new
yes, Kentucky History? Yes, and they all follow you as you walk along. Their eyes all follow you. Does Governor Beshear's eyes?
He's not in there yet.
Oh, he's not hanging up there yet.
No, he's not in there yet. And he currently is hanging, not himself.
get it.
The painting is hanging in the state capitol when you walk in, and it's kind of behind the security area there, you know.
And one of Fred's ornate frames
surrounds
it. And I have to laugh because Fred Thomas is a fine art frame maker.
Oh, they're awesome, yes. I mean, it's incredible.
Gold leaf and everything, the whole deal.
Oh, yes.
And you, excuse me, you write that you deliver every commission in a Fred frame but it's not included in the price of commission, but no one has returned the frame yet.
That's right.
That's proof in the pudding, isn't
and
it?
And in the early days, that wasn't the case. And I was mortified a couple of times at unveilings when I'd rip off the cloth and go, what's that frame? Who picked that out? Oh, no. So I started trying to scramble around and get control. And then finally, I just went to Fred, who was a woodworker. He has a degree in art. And I said, hey, we're sending you off to learn about gilding and frame making. And he was doing fine work anyway, so it was an easy transition. And that way, I have control, and I just sort of like deliver it and send an invoice. But most of the time, we kind of work it in the beginning of the contract. Say, hey, we'll just do a whole package, you know, so that's how we.
And let's go back to the fact that because you've established your reputation internationally, you are on some pretty tony lists of who people might contact for a very high quality portrait, wouldn't you say?
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, you've got it right here.
Let me give you that number now. The idea is to get your provenance in place and to give people confidence. So in the early days, you're doing pro bono work, you're slashing prices. Oh, heck, let's just say it. I do it now sometimes, you know, if the right job comes along. And then that builds your reputation. You have to have work. When you're working in this very narrow, strange niche, you have to have your work in these collections. And it can be private collections, they can be corporate collections, they can be federal, you know, archival, university collections. I have work here and in other universities. And so you have to do this kind of work. You have to deliver. You can't just get the job. I mean, you have to deliver and come through and then be able to provide references so that if someone contacts back and says, well, you know, how did that artist work for you, then you get a good report.
I think you're stating that you have to do the work is probably the paradigm for your entire career. And in your 2006 book, The Art of Portrait Drawing, the takeaway is, this is how you do the work. Mm-hmm. And it's stage by stage, timed drawings over and over and over again, a disciplined approach to just looking and drawing. Tell me why you so like the timed drawing.
I had a teacher once, years and years ago, who walked into the room, the master. And he walked into the room, there was probably 36 struggling artists there, all of us with this hope to be him, you know, to take over his job. And he said, very arrogantly, I might add, I will know in the first 5 minutes if you have any talent, any ability, or you know what you're doing at all. I will know in the first 5 minutes. And then he sets the model up. We all are in front of our easel, and it just hit me. Like, it's true. In 5 minutes, you can take your break, the first break, and everyone walks around, and the ranks are formed. You will know in that first session, model session, who's there knowing what they're doing. So then I developed this whole thing on my own, like, well, hey, let's not just give a taste of that I know what I do. Let's just get something sort of complete in 5 minutes. Let's see how that goes. And I began to break it down in terms of what happens first, second, third, fourth, fifth. What do I look for? How can I break it down? Sort of a formula almost, in terms of a head study anyway. And that was picked up in England. I was working with some publishers in England, and I was just doing a DVD there. And they said, oh, let's get together with the staff and we'll do this for fun, like a parlor game. And one thing led to another, and I did an article in England in this little magazine. And then that kind of took off, and my publishers, who had bought a DVD company, you know, a video how-to thing, had me do the DVD, the five-minute head study with Joy Thomas or something like that. And they sort of made me put my cards on the table, if you will, and said, if you can do it, let's see you do it. And we did a whole DVD on it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, you can look at it on YouTube, in fact, and try yourself.
Well, in your book, The Art of Portrait Drawing, there are plenty of exercises for people to do. The most amusing for me was to see what you accomplished with your son Mason in a very short time. Describe that exercise.
Well, at the time he was 18 and a jock and not very interested in art. And I was busy trying to convince people, you know, they would say, oh, it's just a talent you're born with. Well, no, I mean, you really need to develop. It's an interest. It's a drive that you might have early on. But I drew just like any other little kid. I just drew a lot. And then I just kept the interest. So I was out to prove that I could take this guy and just give him a quick 45-minute lesson in how to see, so how to break it down, the measurements, the canon of the head, how to go through lights and darks, how to see a shape map instead of going, you know, eyes, nose, mouth, you know, smiley face.
The line drawing.
And so he was very, you know, he was bright enough, and he just went, wow, hey, yeah, that's, I see what you mean. And then I set for him, now what you don't know is that is me. So, but it goes from the first symbolic drawing,
cartoon,
like a little kid, to an actual sort of haunting little value study that he did within 45 minutes. It was just changing the way he saw the face.
And then to wind up, again, the book is The Art of Portraiture, and it's available at Amazon.com.
Art of Portrait Drawing.
Portrait Drawing, excuse me. And the way that you see and that you describe teaching Mason to see really quickly is part of your part of the process of developing the total look, of capturing something about an individual that is unique in that portrait. And this is like the foundation. And then what kind of mental notes or physical notes do you make about what aspect of the person, the gesture, the gestalt of the person, how do you codify that as you're going along? And I guess what I'm getting at is that you don't do a drawing in one sitting. You keep at it.
Well, to begin with, when I receive a commission and we've signed the contract and the thing is happening, I ask for settings. And I will do that first off by following the person around to meetings. I mean, I sat in cabinet meetings. I've sat in, I think with the governor, I did a lot of drawings, kind of think like a courtroom artist. And then I will find, just as you are sitting now, Kate, with your hand in a particular gesture, which I've seen you do often, and you may not even know it. So I look and I sketch and I draw, and I'll make notes, actually. Does this with the hands? Does this with the face? Does this with the brow? Does this with the mouth? And I'll start collecting my character study, if you will. And then my goal is to take all of that, and remember, we're just freezing a person. So I only have this one image to get across. Are they thoughtful? Are they, you know, are they friendly? Is the person, would I say this guy's avuncular? Would I say she's has kind eyes? Would I say they're stern? And then my job is to create a narrative in that portrait. And so I do a lot of drawing, and I do a lot of photography on occasion. Sometimes I work strictly from life, especially with paid models, because that hones my skills with anatomy and so on and keeps me smart and honest. But when I'm doing the big commission, I'll do the whole thing, and then I set them up as if they're playing themselves and I'm the director. So they will not even know it. Like, well, I never do that. Oh, really? Yeah, you do that all the time, actually. Just do it now. You know, so whatever gesture it is. I mean, I've had people say to me, oh, I never lace my fingers that way. And it's like, oh, yeah, constantly. Really? You know, so we don't kind of, I have to bring that to the painting. And so a lot of times I have to ask the person to be themselves, honestly.
And then tell them how to be themselves.
I have to direct them on how to be themselves, because we also have this public face. You know, it's the camera face or they strike a pose, you can almost tell they're ready for me, you know, like, I think I'll be this way, you know. And so I have to go and sort of deconstruct their public image of themselves and yet not do it in such a way that they would be feel vulnerable or you know, uncomfortable.
I love the idea. One of the interesting things in this book, and we're running out of time,
no. But
the book shows your studio and your workspace, and the secret to keeping the sitter interested, one of the secrets is to have a mirror behind
you
so the sitter can see what the artist is doing. I think that's pretty smart.
I'm delivering a study today that was a demonstration in one of my workshops, and the setter watched as I did the entire thing, and they're purchasing it. So I'll be delivering it this afternoon, and I do workshops with another artist, Anne Sikora, do you know her? Mm-hmm. And good friend of mine, and we work together on workshops, and we paint together and draw together. And it was in Anne's studio, and I think the lady agreed to pose and then was fascinated by watching it unfold and then seeing it backwards. She'd watched it the whole time. But it does, if you can set up a mirror and they can refer back to it, they don't necessarily have to be gazing that way, but during breaks and things they may look. And a lot of times I'll have them look straight at the piece that I'm working on, and it looks like they're looking away, you know, because the mirror is such that they're looking at the piece, not themselves. And so it usually makes for a really interesting expression, you know, and they're kind of looking away when they're really just watching me draw or paint.
Joy Thomas, we got to scoot. This has been a wonderful thing to speak with you. Joy is a nationally, internationally known portrait artist. We're looking at her book, The Art of Portrait Drawing, and it's on Amazon.com and Books a Million,
mm-hmm.
and it's in paperback now. I'm looking at a beautiful hardcover version. It's not only got the secrets, but also the work ethic.
Yay.
And I thank you for sharing with us today. Congratulations on a great life's work so far.
Thank you for having me.